Hi, I'm Jason Ball, President and CEO of the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce, here for another episode of Business Link in the AOI podcast studio at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce. Have another fun conversation about an organization that is moving a lot of new stuff here in Lincoln. Before we get to that, I just want to remind everybody, if you're bumping into this on social media for the first time ever, you can find all of our backlog of episodes at lcoc.com. That's the Chamber's website. If you look on the newsroom tab, we have a lot of information and a lot of great stories to tell about what's been going on in Lincoln recently through fun interviews like this. And I am very excited for our guest today. It is Rachel Barth from the Lincoln Airport, and she is their Director of Marketing and Air Service.
Yes, and other duties as assigned.
That's right. She is also one of our reliable attendees at many of our chamber-related events. Mm-hmm. We'll often do updates on what's been going on at the Lincoln Airport, and Rachel, it's probably overdue that we get you in here.
How am I just now finding an interview on your podcast, Jason?
Yeah. So welcome to the AOI podcast
Thank
studio,
you. This
Rachel.
Is awesome. What a great studio.
Rachel, just before we start talking about the airport, tell us just a little bit about Rachel. What's your professional history? How did you get into airport-related work?
Yeah. So born and raised Nebraskan, grew up in a super small town just outside of Lincoln called Bennett, which is still part of Lancaster County. Yep. Fun fact, I was the first girl born in my family in 78 years. So hardcore tomboy.
Overdue for that as well.
Hardcore tomboy. Yeah. Grew up playing sports, doing all this stuff. But I went to the University of Nebraska and fell in love with journalism, ad PR. And through there, did internships with a bunch of nonprofits and loved kind of that public relations piece. And then I was like, oh, I have to graduate and I still don't know what I want to do. And I was lucky enough to get a grad assistantship. So I got my master's at the university. So I spent six years on campus and I was a grad assistant. So fantastic, and worked my way up and worked at companies like Cabela's, which is iconic to Nebraska, the Nebraska Community Blood Bank. I was at Lincoln Electric System and now at the airport, and moved back to Bennett and live there now on my family's farm with my husband and our two little boys. So yeah.
That's awesome. How long have you been with the airport now?
Five years and a half. I started during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's like my...
It's a great year to start working
right?
at airports.
Like, let's just jump right in and go into a pandemic and start a new job in transportation. May 2020 is when I got hired.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you've seen a lot of change in this industry.
Yep.
You've seen a lot of change in the, I'll call it the physical infrastructure of the airport, which is beautiful now, by the way. You've seen a lot of change in the air service that's available in Lincoln. We've been through some ups and downs with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we're on an upswing now. So maybe let's start there. Let's start with your role with air service. And you have a
sure.
I want to let everybody know there's a committee of community advisors I serve on that helps give you some feedback in addition to the important role of oversight and leadership of your elected board.
Sure.
But tell us a little bit about that committee. And then we've had some great news recently with Breeze. Tell the folks about that.
Yeah. So I'll just call the elephant in the room, right? We went through, like you said, kind of a downturn with air service. We had, you know, tried Houston service with United, and you know that one didn't work out, and instead United decided to shift that capacity into more flights in Denver and Chicago. And then we struggled with Minneapolis getting them back after COVID, which is a very common story throughout the entire industry. So we were just kind of running out of options, and then we all know about Redway, right? That's not the story I don't shy away from anymore. But that was one of the things that kind of came out of Redway, was we really do need some of that community feedback. Like, is this an opportunity that the community wants to see? Do we take this? Because there is no safe options, right? Everything we do is a risk. That's just how it works. And so is this something we want to do? And that's why we asked you and, I mean, 20 people in the community to be part of this advisory. So it's not just Rachel's making this decision or the board's making this decision. We want to make sure that when we're going into these conversations with airlines, like I do so often, I want to make sure that, like, I'm speaking on behalf of the community, not just speaking on behalf of the airport. And so you're right. We're definitely on that upward swing, which has been really nice, right? We've had some, you know, hard times with air service, but we have kind of this renewed energy, which I'm really excited about. So I was moved into the air service director role about a year ago. And part of that was making somebody at the airport kind of deemed you're our person, right? So yeah. Before we just had people like a consultant that did that. And so they didn't really represent Lincoln. They didn't really represent the airport. We just kind of paid them to go do what I'm doing.
And they probably had other clients, other communities, other airports that they were also serving
Correct.
At the same time.
And they can't go and talk about all the amazing things happening in Lincoln. They don't know about, you know, some new data center or the Sandhills Global, you know, event center. They don't know what we're doing at Pinnacle with volleyball. They don't know about that stuff because they don't live here. Like I do. I feel like I'm an extension of the chamber. I mean, I'm out there selling Lincoln to airlines across the country on why they should invest in Lincoln. And so you really do need somebody that I feel like is ingrained in the community to do that. And so that's kind of been that renewed focus. And having you and the other people on the committee has been just kind of a breath of fresh air, because it's also good for me to just say, this is why we're not doing this, right? Or people ask me, why don't you just, you know, go get Southwest and they can just fly all this stuff? Well, I can show you, like, we don't really fit their business model and here's why. Or this is why it's tough. And so just that education piece has been so important, because then those folks like you, when you're in your own little conversations and the airport gets brought up, you feel educated to speak on behalf of us, and I'm not always having to do it. It's going really well. You mentioned kind of the positive things. United added Denver this year, another flight, and another flight to Chicago. And so that was something we've been pushing them, was increased capacity.
So and how many daily flights for United total?
We're up to 10.
So 10, 10 flights daily.
10 flights daily. So 5 Chicago, 5 Denver. Sometimes that fluctuates depending on the time of the year, but that's where we're at right now, which is amazing. And we're starting to see larger aircraft come in, and we're starting to see the flights to Denver offer first class service, which is something we've been hearing from the business community. And so I can take what those business people are telling me, and then I can go to United saying, if you bring this, we will sell it. We will fill it. And that's amazing for them. And so they have a renewed focus to increase capacity with us. And then obviously everyone knows Breeze Airways is coming to Lincoln, and just so excited to bring a low-cost carrier to the community and get people to fun destinations like Orlando, which will be coming up here in December.
So, and just for folks that maybe they've missed it, or maybe they're just not familiar with Breeze as an airline. I was not before all this, you know, cropped up in the committee's work. Tell folks a little bit about Breeze. Like what kind of portion of the airline industry are they operating in, and how fast are they growing?
Yeah, so in the airline industry, you kind of have like your legacy carriers. Think of United, Delta, American, and then you have your low-cost carriers, and you even have ULCCs, which is ultra low-cost carriers. And kind of, depending on who you talk to, they can kind of fall into different categories. I would say Breeze is definitely more in that low-cost category. They don't do a lot of like daily flying. Theirs is more bi-weekly. So maybe like a Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, Sunday. So a lot of folks in Nebraska are used to like Allegiant Airlines, very similar model, where they're going to fly to point to point to fun destinations twice a week, maybe a little bit larger of an aircraft than we're used to seeing with like maybe the regional jets. But Breeze is an airline that was started by, I think one of their original starters was from JetBlue. And then a lot of their vice presidents and stuff came from Allegiant. So together, they almost created like a new airline from these really, really smart people who've been running airlines for years. And they're now the fastest growing airline in the U.S. And so I was just in Salt Lake City, which is where they are based, listening to their trajectory. They are growing gangbusters. They're in, I think, 80 airports now. They just announced some international flying, which is exciting. But they love Lincoln. And I know you got to meet one of the one of the VPs who came into Lincoln. They're really excited about Nebraska. They're really excited about Lincoln. We will be their first airport in Nebraska, which I'm excited about. That way we're not, you know, competing with some people up the road. But I just think with us having United here as a staple with the business community and then adding a low-cost carrier, we really can now start marketing and talking to college kids and families and those who maybe couldn't afford to fly out of Lincoln before now maybe have a low cost option. So the opportunities for us to capture more of the Lincoln market and just attract more flyers becomes that much greater.
You know, one of the things that I'm most I'll say hopeful for is just knowing that Breeze is a more affordable carrier airline that is growing so rapidly in so many different markets. I'm really hopeful that over time, as Lincoln Airport grows, yep. I hope they're growing with us too. And I know that's a series of questions that, you know, we're asking them on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Just like we are all of our carriers. Where else can we go with you and where else can we grow with an airline? That's the type of relationship we're looking for here in Lincoln.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a partnership. And I will say the members of the Airport Authority Board, like that's what they want to hear is partnership. They want to know yeah. that the airline is also listening to what we have to say, which that's why it's so important to have someone like me in the role, because you have to have constant contact with those airlines so they know what's happening in your community. Tell them why they should go to, you know, this destination as your next point, right? Yeah. Like they want to know why. You know, yeah. what's happening between Lincoln and this city that makes it a good stop? And so if I can pitch that case, we can get more service, because it definitely is a use it or lose it. And you know that if we're going to bring in new service, that's our job is to fill the planes. And if we fill the planes, they'll keep adding additional flights, which is what we want. We want yeah. to be a leisure airport for some of those families and friends and people that we can bring in here, because, as you know, we're booming with young professionals, and flights mm-hmm. like Breeze can really help keep families here, but mm-hmm. give them affordable options. I'm a mom of two. I know expensive it can be yeah. to fly with kids. And so I'm so excited now to have an option to go to Florida with my family come December.
And I just want to point out in terms of areas that people will drive into Lincoln from, I think Lincolnites, and I certainly fall into this trap myself. Like I think of, you know, the Lincoln Airport as a resource for Lincolnites.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily what we're seeing in buyer behavior, flyer behavior,
right.
For these flights. Where are people coming to the Lincoln Airport from to fly out of?
Really, I mean, all over. So when you start getting into that leisure conversation, you can draw a circle about 3 hours outside of your yeah. airport, and people will drive up to 3 hours, especially in the Midwest. We all yeah. like to drive.
Yeah.
I can raise my hand. We will drive to Kansas City for an affordable nonstop flight. People will drive from Omaha, Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island. They will drive in from further out to come into Lincoln for these flights, which is great because that means they're maybe staying in our hotels, filling up with gas, going to restaurants, shopping. I mean, that's really where you start seeing that economic impact play
yeah.
is getting those families and other people to come into our community, stay the night before they fly out.
Yeah. One more question on air service. I just want to allow you to address for our friends is, you know, when we established the Air Service Advisory Committee, mm-hmm. One of the things I was wrapped around was a new consultant who yeah. I've been real impressed with.
Thank you. I really like him.
He
too.
Seems really, mm-hmm. really well informed. But can you tell folks who is that consulting firm that we're now working with?
Sure.
And this is still relatively new.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of advice are we leaning on that consultant to
give? Yeah. No, I should have brought that up. So Kenneth Strickland is yeah. with a organization called CMT. They're huge. They're all over the country. They do, you know, engineering, and they do other airport programs, and not just airports, right? A lot of different things. But they do have a division of air service.
Yeah.
And Kenneth specifically has worked at many different airports and has, I think, even worked with airlines, or his colleagues have. But their job is to really look at all this data and dissect it and really help us understand what does Lincoln deserve versus what does Lincoln want? And
yeah.
that has been really eye-opening for me. And I'm sure hopefully everybody on the committee is, just because we think we need this type of service, we may not be able to sustain that. And we would not want to bring in a carrier and then not be able to sustain the service. And so Kenneth has really done a good job looking at the data, looking at the feasibility study and the catchment study, and laying it out, I feel like, in a really easy format for us to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're doing fantastic with United. Let's grow that. We are. Hey, let's go get a low-cost carrier for the community. You really could sustain a low-cost carrier.
Yeah.
We did that. Now it's, hey, let's get a second legacy into Lincoln, because that will help drive down prices and really maybe get us to a few other hubs that we think Lincolnites would like to get to. That's what we're working on. So, I mean, we have a pretty methodical approach, and I feel like he does a good job taking these really complex, you know, things that a lot of data analysts understand and kind of making it easier for people like you and I to understand.
Yeah.
So you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he just does a really good job helping us to understand how complex air service is.
Well, and I'd just like to share with folks, I've been very impressed with Kenneth. I've had the great opportunity to hear him speak and present information
yeah.
several times now. And it's data focused. He always has a good understanding and is able to communicate it very well, as you said, about mm-hmm. what the pressures and trends
yeah.
in a really complicated industry are. And so Kenneth has just been a great asset. I really think he's an important piece of why we've been successful in recruiting Breeze.
Agreed.
I think he's helped in our ongoing relationships with United, and I think he's going to help with other future opportunities that we might see on the horizon too.
I agree.
That's the questions I know you get all the time. So I want to go back to maybe some questions that you're probably getting a lot less, but to the Chamber of Commerce and Lincoln Partnership for Economic Development, I know we're really paying attention to, is we've got some amazing employers that are out there either in the air park, which I'll get to in a second, or on the other side of the fence, on the runway side of the fence.
Like the general aviation side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how does the airport work with the employers like the Duncans or Silverhawk Aviations and the other air service support providers that are out there?
Yeah. So how I like to explain the airport is, just like your financial portfolio, you want to be diversified, right? So you have your military partners, Air and Army National Guard, or backup to Offutt Air Force Base. We got our general aviation. You mentioned Duncan Aviation, Silverhawk. We have Atlantic, another great FBO, Hilero, super cool company. And then we have tons of just corporate hangars and T hangars. That kind of makes up our general aviation side. Yeah. And then we have the industrial park and then commercial aviation and our terminals. So all kind of contribute in different ways. It's really complex. A lot of airports don't have that many different facets, and we do. So one, as you know, we're an old Air Force base. We have tons of land. A lot of people don't know. We're actually one of the largest airports in the entire country, which is crazy to think about. When you look at the kind of land that we're responsible for, not very many airports are responsible for 5,000 acres.
Yeah.
And so really that's what we take care of, and why a lot of employees that we have, especially on the operations side, that's what they take care of, as we do a lot of lease agreements, taking care of roads and bridges and sewer and water. We have our own comm center. We have our own police department. So we're on like our own little like mini city at the airport. But economically, it's so important, because when an airport thrives, the community thrives. And we do try to work closely with those general aviation folks, because we don't want them to think that we forgot about them. So we have committees, just like you're on the Air Service Advisory Committee. We have a General Aviation and Military Committee. So we meet with them regularly to get their feedback, to know, you know, what are they seeing in the industry? What are they, you know, frustrated with? We have a huge runway project coming up that's taking down our primary runway. Like, those folks need to know that, because they're using those runways too. And so we want to make sure that we're communicating what's happening at the airport to all of our different tenants. So I think having these committees have been really helpful. Obviously, we have monthly board meetings where we're giving updates, but just trying to be as transparent, let everybody know what's going on. We have strategic plans. We just had this economic impact study done. Those are all things that we try to relay out to those groups, so they're not, you know, caught off guard and can understand how the airport plans to grow and how they can grow with us.
Well, we've got some great partners like a Duncan Aviation that have presence, you know, not just at this airport, but two other airports in Utah and Michigan, and just great insight into what trends in this industry, broadly speaking, are going to be, whether that's on the consumer flight side or on the general aviation side. Let's talk about the runway just for a second. You know, one of the things that we at the Chamber, from a policy perspective, have been very enthusiastic about is working with the Air National Guard, as well as Senator Fisher in particular, but all of our federal delegation has supported, you know, federal funding to redo the main runway, which is, and I'm going to forget the footage, but it is a uniquely long
12,901 feet.
A uniquely long runway. And so if you take one of these big military planes and you load it down with a bunch of people and supplies or goodness
cargo
knows
or
what else, right?
Yeah.
Right. This is an asset, one of very few in the nation, where a plane fully loaded at certain times of the year can actually fly to both hemispheres.
Yeah.
And I don't think most people in the community know and understand what a unique asset that is. And that's why this runway project is so important. Certainly we need a runway, but we need one that can continue to fulfill that mission too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mentioned earlier, we're an old Air Force base, and so we have always had one of the longer runways because the space shuttle could land here, which is really cool to say. It's kind of a tip of the hat. But a lot of airports have not been able to work with their delegations and the community and the FAA to get their runways sustained. It is incredibly expensive and hard to sustain runways like that. So you see airports losing that fight and their you know, runways are deteriorating. And it was so important to us, and luckily so important to the airport and the military to keep our asset. I mean, we want to continue to be, you know, part of the national defense and to be a good supporter of them. And you're correct. The air refueling wing could not take off and do the missions that they have promised our country to do if we don't have our runway.
Yeah.
And so it's incredibly important for us to keep that entire length, keep as much of the width as we can. So we are, it's at 200 feet right now width. It's going to go down to 150, but still completely able to handle any aircraft. But that is a big project. Super excited that one of the contractors working on it is a local contractor. So, you know,
starts this fall, right?
Well, yeah. So they're already starting some of the phasing and some of the pre-work this fall, but you're going to really start seeing some activity in January and February. And so we expect this to be about a 2-year project.
Wow. Well, and I don't do this often, but I'm going to do a timestamp. So we're recording this on the afternoon of Monday, October 27th. And the reason why I do this is I really hope my next question is a non-issue by the time you're seeing this, which is we're in the middle of a government shutdown. I think we're something over 20 days into the shutdown, not quite 30 yet. We mentioned that runway project, a lot of federal inputs to it. We mentioned the Air Guard mission. Which is still operational, but also subject to federal funding. In this moment that we're in, and let alone the air security that people have to go through.
TSA.
Like what's changing in a government shutdown? How's the airport, you know, responding to some of this? Does it jeopardize anything like a runway project?
Sure. So I would say we have been incredibly lucky so far that our local TSA and air traffic controllers are showing up to work.
Yeah.
That's not always the case in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
A lot of them are calling in sick. Maybe they're unionized and, you know, other issues, but they've officially now gone through a month where they have not been paid. And that's really hard. And you can see it on their faces. And in a small airport like Lincoln, right, you know everyone's names. I'm sure you know which agents you're going to see, especially those frequent flyers coming in out of the airport. So it's been really hard to see them frustrated and struggling, but they continue to show up for us. So I want to give a huge shout out to them for coming to work and continuing to keep our skies safe, because that is such a big thing to remember during this. But when it comes down to how it impacts us, I mean, it impacts obviously their moods, and them showing up to work impacts everything we do. So far, we've been lucky. It hasn't delayed flights, or we haven't had the issues some of the bigger airports have. But as you start getting into projects like the runway project, it can have issues because we need checks to be cut to pay contractors to do that work. And those people aren't working.
Yeah.
And so even on the administration side, when you start looking at these, you know, the grant funding or some of those, grants that we've applied for, even though the money is there, you don't have anybody to contact to get that money because they're not working. And so that's where you start seeing these delays, is some of these FAA folks that we might need to check on something. We might get an audit out of office. Hey, well, I'm not working right now. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And so I think we will start seeing some of those delays if this doesn't start figuring itself out. But right now, here locally, we have been incredibly lucky that
So far, so good.
Yeah. Not all airports have been able to say that. So kudos to those folks for sticking it out with us, because it's a really hard time for them.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you to those folks and their families
for continuing
to be dedicated to that work and that mission. Couple things I want to hit on before we wrap up here. The industrial park you mentioned, people call it the air park, right?
Yep.
Has been a longtime industrial asset that I think has been a priority for the Lincoln Partnership for Economic Development, see more activity out here. We just earlier this year, a couple months ago now, got to celebrate the opening of TMTE.
Yes.
Tell us about TMTE.
TMTE is just such a great company. I mean, they're Nebraska based, as you know. They started in David City and have just grown and just become just such a cool company, you know, making their all aluminum trailers. And when they kind of approached us and wanted to talk about building at the airport, I think we all got a little giddy because we're just like, how cool of a story to be able to keep them here in Nebraska. Yeah. And this wasn't replacing David City. This wasn't replacing, you know, any jobs. It was in addition to. And yeah. So they came in between working with us and you guys and, you know, their partners, been able to build this beautiful, what, 20-some million dollar facility. And they're already like, we want to build more, you know, and that's like music to our ears, is that they're growing, making these beautiful trailers. You were at the ribbon cutting and open house. Those are the kind of tenants that we just love, because they bring in employees. They bring in such a renewed sense to that area. I mean, it's beautiful. And when you start seeing those beautiful buildings and the landscaping and all the work that they put into the area and really own it, we're really hoping that attracts other businesses to want to do the same. Yeah. We want them to come to us, say, whatever model Timpty just did, we want to do the same, because we can. Yeah. And we've been working through that. What we can do as an airport, what does the FAA allow? And I feel like we've now got kind of the right people in at the airport and on the board that sees kind of that future vision of how we can really grow that industrial park. Because you're right, it is a huge asset to Lincoln. We have a lot of land out there, and we'd love to keep adding industrial tenants like a Timpty to our portfolio.
Look, I'll just mention, I've seen a lot of manufacturing facilities in my time.
I'm sure
and
you have.
I've seen a lot of beautiful, you know, world class mm-hmm. facilities. This is among the best. It is gorgeous. It is just, it's the type of thing that I get out of bed for in the morning to see happening in Lincoln, because it's just a high quality environment. And we have a lot of amazing manufacturers in town. This is not the only one, but just so exciting to see something new like that come online. And what a win for the community.
Well, and you know, we kind of mentioned a couple of things happening at the airport. You know, the not as exciting parts are, like, you know, the economic impact studies, although maybe people in here get really excited about it. But the things I get excited about is like the Timpties of the world and the Dunkins and these businesses that do bring a lot of, you know, economic impact to the airport. And the fact that the airport gets to be part of that is huge, because it is important. You know, we just did this study with the University of Nebraska with Dr. Thompson and got this 20-page report that, I'll be honest, I did not read all the way through.
Give us some top line.
Yes,
I want to make
sure
we hit this.
Yes, it's important, but I took the very important things, and one of those is that having an airport in your community is a big deal, and we just proved that with this study. So over $1 billion is because of us.
Annual economic input total.
Total, yeah. Yep, and you're talking about jobs, military, you know, planes going in and out, visitor spending, all those land leases. I mean, it all adds up, and it's so cool to be part of that. And so, you know, really what kind of makes me upset sometimes is when people say, well, why don't we just build an airport between Lincoln and Omaha? We should just build one in Ashland. And I was like, why would you want to take an asset that brings $1 billion to your community and give it to somebody else?
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to do that? I mean, these are people's livelihoods that are here. I mean, Duncan has called Lincoln home. Timpty's now calling Lincoln home. But so is Community Crops and HTI Plastics and the State Crime Lab. And we have a cereal manufacturer and Hexagon. And I can go on and on and on. I mean, Hilero is a really cool company at our airport that now is taking aircraft and converting them into medical helicopters to save little kids at hospitals. Like, I'm like, you have no idea all these really cool things we do, because you have an airport in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we really need to be proud and excited for that. And so that's the part of the economic study that I get excited for, is to tell those stories.
Yeah. What a great note to end on. I think people look for the things that they have experienced, and everybody's experienced flying in one form or another. And if you haven't flown out of the Lincoln Airport recently, please do. It's amazing. It's a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. But the things that I think fewer people do get to experience are what's going on with the industrial assets that are out there at the airpark. And it's amazing, world-class stuff that is happening with the businesses out at the airpark and around the airport. So, Rachel Barth, Director of Marketing and Air Service from your Lincoln Airport. It's been a delight talking to you here in the AOI podcast studio at the Chamber. Rachel, thank you so much for a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Jason Ball, and we will see you next time.